Hello, SB. Hi. I am so honored to be here with you. Is that good? A little bit higher? No, higher. Higher. My eyes are... It's perimenopause. Okay, good. TMI? I'm sorry. Let me just tell you in advance, I do TMI a lot. Okay, that's just the way I am. I'm going to tell you as it is. You may feel a little bit uncomfortable, especially Asian woman. It's okay. It's going to set you free. One thing that I love about SP is you guys are so excellent, but at the same time so pure. Like just being here watching you, I'm learning so much. Watching P. Sam and Lisa and all the leaders and even just church members just watching you guys, I could see the spirit of excellence, but you're so humble. And we're just learning so much. Thank you for being such an amazing example in this day and age for the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's pray first. Why don't we pray? Father, I thank you so much that you are here. God, more than anything else, we want you. God, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of struggles, God, in the midst of our lack and our weakness, Father, we want to see you. So today, will you open our eyes to see the way you see the things? Will you open our eyes that we would truly behold you? You. God, true freedom comes from being with you. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would overshadow me, that you would overshadow us, that you would overwhelm us with your manifest presence. So come, Holy Spirit, speak. Come do what you want to do among us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel like I was rapping after going after him. Did it kind of sound like that? No? Okay, never mind. Sounded like it to me. You know, as we were worshiping last night, God put something in my heart, and I feel like this word is for you. And just to tell you in advance, I know my life is not my own. And that my life is prophetic, and that everything that I go through, from glorious testimonies to the lowest places, you know, everything that I live through, I truly believe it's prophetic for the people of God. So today I want to kind of share with you what I've experienced, what I've encountered in the past year. Is that okay with you? Yeah? I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 60. We're going to look at first two verses, Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. And then if you're fast, you could also flip to Exodus 20, 21. Okay, Isaiah 60, starting at verse 1. You there? It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness," everybody say darkness, "shall cover the earth, and deep darkness," everybody say deep darkness, "the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Amen? Exodus 20, verse 21, it says, "The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness." Everybody say thick darkness. Where God was. This morning, I want to talk to you about darkness. You know, in this day and age, we see so much darkness, right? I mean, in America, I don't know, I'm pretty sure you are aware of shootings, you know, our African-American communities. You know, I've never really understood the struggles that our African-American black brothers and sisters went through until this year. I mean, I've been married to a black man for 16 and a half years. But for the first time, I feel like I'm really getting it. Everywhere you look, Syria, you look Haiti, you look everywhere. You look North Korea. So many places you see darkness. Darkness covers the earth. But more than that, deep, thick darkness covers the people. And I feel like God wants to speak to you about your darkness, about what you do. You know, true freedom, Benjamin talked about, is going where God's calling you to go, when he wants you to go. And I think a step above that is true freedom is seeing the way God sees. Even the darkness, not to see it through your struggles or through your lack or your weakness, through your depression or disillusionment, but to even see the darkness through God's eyes. And when you do so, it is an opportunity for God's glory to be seen upon you in your darkness. Amen? So past 1 year, I've been going through some darkness myself. And I'm very passionate about bringing awareness to this particular darkness. It's going to be TMI. Is that okay, P-Sam? All right. He says it's okay. If you are 45 and up, can you stand up? I'm sorry, female. That's it. Stay standing here. Hey, I'm here for you. I'm gonna do something for you. You're gonna thank me in tears later. 45 and up. Okay. There's this thing called perimenopause. Okay. We know about menopause, but I didn't know anything about perimenopause until last year. Okay? Now, it's worse than teenagers. Who's been pregnant? Pregnant? To me, it's worse. The hormones are worse during perimenopause than when you were pregnant. But just to be nice, if you're pregnant, I want you to stand up. If you just had a baby in less than... No, stay standing among us. Trust me, this is going to be good, okay? If you are pregnant, stand up with this amazing woman. If you had a baby within last 1 year, I want you to stand up, okay? All right. Now, everyone else, look around. Husbands, if you're next to your wife, I want you to hold their hands. Listen, these women that are standing in front of you, they need unconditional love. Everybody say unconditional love. You know what unconditional love is? It's undeserved. We may act. I'm trying to look for a nice word. So I could say it in Living Hope, because we have a lot of ghetto people. But here, I'm not so sure. Sometimes these women that are standing you are frustrated, we're angry, we're sad, and even if you didn't do anything wrong, we may snap at you, we may blame you for the things that we're going through, but listen, we need your unconditional love. Amen? Okay, you may be seated. Now, I'm not done with this. You may be seated. Husbands, sons, daughters, listen. Co-workers, pastors, listen. This is serious right now. When you're going through a perimenopause, these hormones that are released, it makes you so angry. I never ever understood in my life before perimenopause people who killed others, people who caused physical harm. I didn't understand. Why would you do that? That's mean. But going through a perimenopause, I understand. You see that in my eyes? I understand. See, in the beginning, beginning, Benjamin had no idea. Alethea had no idea, and I had no idea, and little things. My emotional capacity has become so little. And I would snap, I would get angry, and then I would feel bad, and I would go to my room and cry by myself, feel like a terrible Christian. And then after a while, my loving husband right here, he started to avoid eye contact. I come in the room, he's just like, Benjamin. Until I went to the doctors, and my doctor explained, you could take medication, but that could cause cancer. I'm not taking medication. But I remember even Alethea helping her with her homework. I thought I was going to lose my salvation. I made that poor little daughter of mine, my one and only daughter, whom I would give my very life for. You don't know how many times past 1 year I made her cry. Then I would feel so bad. The emotional capacity. And then I realized when I was a teenager, my mom was going through perimenopause. That's why she was so nasty. That's why she was so mean. But I didn't know. So I snapped back at her. And once I understood, I told Benjamin, you know what God told me? Because one morning I was getting ready. And I was like, God, it's not fair for women. You know, we go through teenage years and we become very hormonal and we get all mad and sad and angry. And then we get pregnant and it gets worse, you know, and then we forget things and we get angry. Husbands, if you're pregnant, as your wife is pregnant right now, you better be nice. Because if you do something wrong, she will remember it for the rest of her life. Keep that in mind. Be nice. Unconditional love. I'm very passionate about this. I get angry when I see pregnant women or mothers with toddlers, young baby, and the husbands are just, you know, eating, and the wife is running around trying to feed the baby. Come on! Did we do enough for carrying the child for 9 months and pushing that baby out? You feed them! You chase them around! And so I started to, I started to educate my husband and my daughter. You see, there's this thing called perimenopause. It's not my fault. It really isn't. I'm a loving person. I start to explain to them. And they're like, oh, okay. And that's when Benjamin started to be nicer. He started to look into my eyes. I was getting ready for church. I was like, God, it's not fair. I thought I was done after having Alethea. And then in my 40s, I have to go through this again? It's not fair. And you know what God said? God said, Sonny, no. It's for your benefit. I was like, what? It's for my good? How? He said, see, I've given woman double the opportunity to be loved unconditionally. Husbands, sons, look at me. It's an opportunity for you to be like Jesus. It's easy to love those that love you, right? But it's hard to love when she's snapping at you. See, what you don't know is there's some woman, they're laughing with me, but inside they're crying because they were lonely. In this. I'm serious. They were alone in this. And so God's like, tell your husband that he's supposed to love you unconditionally. And recently I had to remind him. He was doing well for a while. And when I snapped at him, he would snap back at me. I'm like, where's the unconditional love? I was like, Benjamin, remember, perimenopause. He's like, oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm so sorry. He started to massage me, right? Bring me food. Food. Bring them food. It's very important. It helps with the hormones and they could be nicer to you. As funny as it is, that past 1 year has been so frustrating. I've never knew I had this much anger. Didn't feel like me. I felt insecure. You know, before, I used to be a real good pastor. People like say something bad about me or my husband. See, before God, in my head, oh, Daniel must be going through something hard right now. And I could just love him back, you know? He could, you know, accuse me of something crazy. I'm like, oh. And I would cry, God, bless my son, help him. But with perimenopause, he's not even trying to offend me or accuse me. Maybe he forgot to call me when he's supposed to call me. And I'm feeling insecure. And I'm like, see, he doesn't love me. That insecurity, I was bound by insecurity, but I thought, it's part of aging. It's part of life. I have to live with it. I'm sorry, husband, you just have to live with it. Maybe they said it lasts up to 12 years. 12 years. Hang on. You can make it. Even Aletheia, when she gets really like frustrated, she's like, it's my perimenopause. You know what I realized? Man, I am an opportunity for my husband. I'm nice enough to give you this opportunity to be like Jesus. Not just a few days, but for years. Husbands, it's your opportunity. You must thank them. Come on, look at your wife and say thank you. Until a few months ago, Benjamin was preaching about being in the pit. And I realized this perimenopause was a pit for me, and I did not know how to come out. This darkness, I could not control my emotions. I could not control my tongue. If you look at listen to some of the sermons, I'm like, I cringe. I'm like, I said that. You can't, it's like you can't help. Say what you want to say. Before, you could control it. Self-control, right? But I said things. Even while I was preaching, I was like, perimenopause. But you know, and that while Benjamin was preaching about being redeemed in the pit, in that moment, God spoke to me, Sonny, you're not a helpless victim to this perimenopause. And I said, okay, Lord. And I pray during the altar time, I pray this simple prayer. I said, God, help me to use this darkness, use this emotional sensitivity as a vehicle to draw near to you and not to push people away. I pray that simple prayer. And that week, I feel like God gave me wisdom. And he said, Sonny, the only way for you, it may be different for other people, but for you, you need to drown yourself. You got to fill that pit with the word of God. And so I started to listen to 2 to 3 sermons a day. I started to read through the Bible. I read through the whole Bible in 6 months again. I had to drown myself in the word of God. And I started to feel like control coming back to my emotions. You see, Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The time has come. Solomon's Porch, SP. Arise. It's time. Your time has come to arise. And then he says, see, your time has come to arise, to shine your light. It's time to shine your light. See? And then when you see, all you see is darkness. See? Evidence to your time. Your time has come to arise and shine. See? The evidence is darkness that you see. The evidence is the thick darkness that covers your life. Darkness is the evidence. And in that moment, when you are able to see that darkness through the perspective of God, it's an opportunity for God's glory to be seen upon you. The right response to your darkness is arising. It's not stepping back. It's not hiding. It's not running away. It's not, past peace time, I got to step down from ministry for a while. Response, the right response to your darkness is not backing out, hiding, running away. The right response to your darkness is arising for you to shine the light of Jesus Christ. When you see deep darkness, it's God's call for you to arise. Exodus 20 here. God calls Israelites. He wants to reveal his glory. He wants to reveal himself to his people. He prepares them and they come. And God speaks audibly. And they see darkness, the fire, the cloud. And people are like, oh, Moses, please, you talk to us. You talk to us. We don't want God to talk to us. We're too scared. And in verse 21, it says, people remain at distance. You see, when people see darkness, they want to stay away. Just like Benjamin wanted to stay away and avoid my eye contact. But the right response was what Moses did. He approached the darkness. Not stay at a distance. You know, I've been on 2 Indonesia mission trips past 1 year, and I want to share testimonies from there. Is that okay? So back in 2015, I think right after SP retreat, I took a team to Indonesia, and we went to this island called Telo Island, and Daniel and some of, he was there, and we had a powerful time. When we first went to Telo Island, it was crazy. Like, more than 60, 70% of population were demonized. Like, you could literally see demons in their eyes. And then, when they come in contact with you, we have a service or prayer meeting, without us doing anything, they would just manifest. And then they would slither like a snake from one end to the other, so fast. And we're like, whoa. The 80% of ministry in Telo was deliverance, right? And so we would go back every year teaching them how to live a victorious life. So last year, we took a team. You know, Daniel did a powerful, Daniel was preaching. People were weeping. It was so powerful, right? And then after everything was done, we got on the boat. To get there, you get on a speedboat. It takes about 4 hours, okay? 4 hours nonstop to get there. On our way back, we went about 1 hour and then storm came. Darkness came. The wave was higher than our boat, right? The rain, the water was coming inside of our boat. And then our team, probably including Daniel, right? They were all freaking out. But, you know, they're Christians, so they freak out Christian way, right? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. So, right, they're praying, but they're actually freaking out, right? And so in that moment, I was conflicted. I see this darkness, but there's no way to get out of it. You look front, back, side, there's no, you can't even swim. There's no island. All you see is water 360. And the waters, and you know, our boat is going crazy, right? And then I said, should I freak out? Should I command the storm to cease? Should I say peace? Or should I get a bucket and, you know, like activate our people? All right, you know, we have hands and feet. Come on, get a bucket. Get the water out. Come on. Should I activate? What should I do? I didn't know what to do. So I asked God, should I freak out? Are we going to die here? Because I know I told you my dream come true would be to die as a martyr, but like I was thinking more like in front of Muslims, you know, preaching the gospel powerfully, not when nobody's watching us and we're in the ocean. Come on, God, right? And so I was like, what should I do? And then I heard one word. And he said, sleep. And in that moment, when God speaks to you, you don't ask questions. Okay. You know what I did? I got up. I had to kind of climb on my foot, right? I climbed into the front where our baggage was. And I didn't even say anything to them. I didn't say, don't worry. I didn't say, pray. I didn't say anything. I just ignored them. I just climbed and I just went to bed. And right before I went to bed, I prayed this one prayer. I said, God, usually nonstop, it takes 4 hours to get to Nias from Telo. I'm going to sleep because I'm a good daughter, because I obey you, so I'm going to sleep. But when I wake up, I want to be in Nias, and I want you to take us there faster than 4 hours. Okay? I didn't even wait to hear his response. Good night. I went to bed. And I think it was a miracle that I actually fell asleep. Because even this last night, two nights before, I was awake since 1 a.m., I wanted to sleep, but I couldn't. This night, last night, a lady I woke up at 3:30. She went back to sleep. I couldn't go back to. I wanted to sleep, but I couldn't sleep in this nice hotel. But in the middle of the Indian Ocean, right, in the midst of the storm, God says sleep, and I fell asleep in like 3 seconds. I woke up. I got excited. I sat up and I looked, there was Nias Island. I looked at my watch, from beginning to where we were at, only took 3 hours. Come on, give him praise. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Usually it takes 4 hours, only took 3 hours. And so I asked everybody, what happened, guys? What you guys do? And everybody said, well, when we saw you sleeping with that, well, I guess it's not that bad. So we all went to sleep. Except Daniel. Right? He said he didn't sleep. So I asked him, so Daniel, what happened? He said, well, we were there most of the time. The engine kept falling off, right? And by the grace of God, the driver would like grab it before it went to the, right? A few times, right? And then we were just riding the waves, not being able to turn on the generator, right? For most of time, instead, only last 30 or 40 minutes, we were able to go. That's crazy! A lot of times, when you are facing darkness, the enemy wants you to give up. That's it, you're gonna die. When you're facing darkness, the enemy says, you're going to die. The enemy says, no more. You're never going to do missions anymore. Nobody's going to want to follow you anymore. The enemy speaks those lies. But as a child of God, when you see the darkness through God's perspective, you get to sleep through the storm, not fight through the storm. Too many of us, we're busy with the bucket. All we need is God's perspective. We can sleep through it. We can sleep through it. Now, a few months ago, this year, 2016, now, we went from Nias to Telo, the same island, and to Hibala. Hibala is another 6 hours speedboat from Telo. Okay, so you fly to Medan. From Medan, you fly to Nias. And then from Nias, you go to Telo. And from Telo, another 6 hours boat ride. And I'm talking about, you know, those wooden boats. Okay? With bugs. Okay? Or you get... Okay, never mind. So it's 6 hours. And so with... How do we get to Hibala? It was with the pastor in Telo. We wanted to empower him. We said, we want to know your vision. We're here to empower your vision. We're not here to do our vision. Our vision is your vision. What do you want to do? He said, I want to reach the people of Hibala. He said, let's do it. And we were excited. But darkness kept coming as we planned this trip. Darkness after darkness. So I run, okay? I may not look like it, but I'm a runner. I like to run. And beginning of this year, I ended up with the runner's knee, right? So I couldn't run. See, running was very helpful with my perimenopause. I'm a lot nicer if I could run, right? So I can't run. So maybe my niceness went down a notch, okay? And then I was supposed to run a half marathon 3 days before my Hibala trip. A day before my marathon, I fall. Not preaching the gospel in Hibala. In my own living room, I fall and I dislocate my tailbone. You know how your tailbone looks like this? Mine was like that. Every time I walked, it felt like somebody was kicking me as hard as they can. Every step, TMI, it's okay. It was so painful. And I was like, I still want to run the marathon. And I waited till that morning. I was like, yeah, I don't think I can run the marathon. And then on Monday, we were supposed to leave. And so Daniel was supposed to be on that team. He was going to be the preacher of my Nias team. So I thought, you know, with my dislocated tailbone, going on the plane would be painful enough. Imagine smaller, like 10 people plane to, you know, Telo. And then I'll send Daniel. I'll stay in the orphanage with their kids in Nias. And so right before we were leaving for the airport, my loving husband comes to the side of the door. He's holding my hand. Tears streaming down. I don't want you to go. Benjamin, I have to go. But your tailbone. You're in pain. I don't want you to go. He was crying. And I had a church member as my witness, right? It's okay. Maybe I'll send Daniel. Benjamin, our team is small. I cannot send them without me. I have to go. I'll make it.
Okay.
Now I get to the airport. Where's Daniel? He's late. Darkness. Shh. I'm time oriented. So if you're late to my meeting, you're allowing darkness to cover my heart, right? Darkness. Oh, he's late. And then he calls us, Daniel, where are you? I didn't check my passport, and it's expired. Okay, go get it renewed. Come meet us tomorrow. Okay. Long story short, takes forever. He doesn't make it. And so I send the rest of the team to our orphanage, and Amy and I, we go to Hibala. If you knew what I was going through, like every one of you would stand in line and give me a massage. The things that I went through for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every step, I couldn't carry my own bags. The whole time on the plane, left out, right out, middle out. There was no comfortable way to sit through. I love food. That's my love language. For the first time in the history of Living Hope Missions, our first night in Medan, I sent the team out for dinner without me. I stayed in the hotel. Because I was in pain. While they were there, I'm sleeping. The whole time I'm sleeping, demons are attacking me. I'm fighting. The spiritual warfare was crazy. And they said during middle of the night, one of my missions team leader, she didn't know what to do because I'm sleeping, but I'm like, get out in the name of Jesus. Oh no, I'm like praying in tongues. And she's like, should I wake her up? And she didn't know what to do. And so she said she just started to pray in tongues with me. And then we go to Nias Island. Now I'm with Amy. In the middle of the night, I get this Charlie horse here. I used to play soccer, so I have, that's nothing. You get all out, you know, you stretch a little bit, push, it's fine, it goes away, a few minutes. This one lasted 2 days. I couldn't walk. You ask her, even after she tried to massage it out for like 30, 40 minutes, it was so painful, and I'm walking. I'm already walking weird with dislocated tailbone, and I'm walking. And then the first night, they're saying the only way to get to the village is on the motorcycle. Should have been Daniel on that motorcycle. The whole way. Jesus. I'm screaming because I'm in so much pain. Darkness, physical sickness is darkness. Relational difficulty is darkness. You're not able to experience the presence of God. Spiritual dark, so many areas we experience darkness. And every moment where you experience darkness, the enemy presents death. Death is better. It's better to die. It's better to get a divorce. It's better to quit. It's better to step down from ministry. Death. The enemy always presents death as a better option. But as the children of God, as sons and daughters of God, the thicker the darkness, the bigger the opportunity for us. That's why even when I was in pain on that motorcycle, I knew God. God, oh, I am in so much pain. That means you're going to do something greater than ever. I'm in pain, but I'm excited. And I go. We have a powerful service. At the end of that service, famous witch doctor who's over 100 years old. She's so famous because so many people had died through her curses. She comes to the altar and I lead her to Jesus. The glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. And the next day we get on that boat for 6 hours. The storm comes. I don't even have time for all the details of the things that Amy and I went through. Usually our Indonesia team is like 12, 14 people. This one, Amy and I were the team. We go to Telo Island. Hebala Island, they're more demonized than Telo. Right? At least Telo, I could set them free. They manifest. We command the manifestations to stop in Jesus' name. We talk to them. We, you know, set them free. But in Hebala, we could only set 2. Out of hundreds of people, we only set 2 people free from demon possession. You know why? They manifest violently. And then it takes long, for 30, 40 minutes for us to stop its manifestation. But once it stops manifestation, they fall out. What's her name? Isa. Look at me, Isa. Nothing. And they're out for hours. And so we're not able to deliver them. The island was so demonic when we went there. No wonder the enemy fought. Like through darkness, snowballs at us. You know, darkness, you know, pain, sickness, you know, people not being able to go. And all this darkness. And your husband's crying, I don't want you to go. You know, all this darkness. But you know what's amazing? For the first time in the history of Hibala, we did an open-air crusade. There's about 8,000 people that live in that island. In 2 days, 800 souls gave their lives to Jesus. The darkness covers the earth. Deep darkness, the people. But His glory. But His glory will be seen upon you. I remember beginning of this year, we had night watch, all night prayer on January 31st. And this God promise gave me three promises. One, exceedingly great joy. Two, what was two? It's so great that I forgot, right? A fulfillment of promises, that this year will be the year of fulfillment. And then number three, that there will be appearances of angels and Jesus Himself. January comes, I get a call. My mom is about to die. She's sick. She's not able to sit up. She's just, and we all felt like if one of us don't go, she's gonna die. She lives in Anchorage, Alaska. And so I said, you know, I'm the busiest out of all the sisters, but I said, okay, I'll go. And so I go. When I went, my mom couldn't even lift up her head. For so next 7 days, I nursed her back. See, massage is another love language in our family. Food and massage. So the whole time I'm massaging her head, neck, back, leg, 24/7. I'm cooking her chuk, you know, porridge. I'm feeding her. She can't eat it. I make other stuff. I feed her. I nurse her back to health. And by... she had vertigo also at that time. And, like, she was malnourished because when she got sick, nobody was there to take care of her, right? So she couldn't eat. It was just one after the other. I nursed her back to health. But then once I nursed her back to health, darkness came back. You see, all my life growing up, ever since I was a child, my mom is always tormented at night with sleep apnea and anxiety attacks in her legs, right? And in her back. And she's crying. And we used to have to, like, massage her throughout the night. And, you know, I used to resent her for that. You know, you don't have to go to work. I have school. And I have to, you're making me massage you. You know, my mom wasn't a regular, like, ordinary Korean mother. You know, we had to cook for her. We had to clean after we, right? And once I nursed her back, that darkness came back. And she's tormented at night. And I remember growing up, I used to pray. I said, God, You use me all over the world to set people free. But why can't I help my mom, my own mom, you know? And so I was like, God, send somebody then. If I can't do it, send somebody help my mom. But one night, she's crying. She's tormented. For 1 hour, I'm praying for her. I'm massaging her back. Nothing. And this thought comes to my mind. Death is better. What's the use of nursing her back to health if she's going to be tormented? She's already saved. God, she already knows You. Just take her life. Just take her with You so she's not tormented. Death is better. Death is better. The whole time, I'm like, oh, Jesus, heal her. But in my mind, I'm like, death is better. Death is better. I'm sick and tired of this. I don't want to watch her go through this again. I am sick and tired, God. Death is better. Just kill her. Take her. After 1 hour, I just couldn't handle it anymore. I said, Mom, I am so sorry, but I need to go to sleep. I cannot do this anymore. And she was crying. She's like, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. And I'm walking back to the bedroom. And I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I have no faith for this. I just came back getting 800 people saved, delivering people from demon possession. But my mom, I can't help her. And I don't want to see it anymore. Death is better. Death is better. Death is better, God. Death is better. And I enter the room. I lay on the bed and I'm frustrated and I'm angry. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere changes. And Jesus enters the room. I'm not talking about I saw a vision. I'm not talking about I sense. No, Jesus himself entered the room. And once he entered the room, the atmosphere of death just shifted. Everything just made sense. And he looked at me and he said, Sonny, there's a better option. There's a better option than death. He said, healing is better option, my daughter. Restoration is better option. Deliverance is a better option. And in that moment, I don't know how, but everything made sense. Of course. And in a short period of time, I had this long conversation with God. And I started to pour out my heart. Oh, yeah, God, what about these sons and daughters that have left us? What about these relationships? I didn't cut them off. They cut me off. I love them still. I miss them. I want them in my life. But they cut me off. They chose death. I had no option. They chose death. Even there, is there a better option, God? And God said, there's always a better option, Sonny. It only takes a moment. In that moment, everything made sense. He didn't have to explain anything. I didn't have to go through a process. In that moment where when Jesus appeared, everything just made sense. And my mom crawls in saying, daughter, please help me. Please help me. In that moment, I knew exactly what to do. I said, okay, mommy, let's go. I lead her to in Korean, right? She could barely speak English. I lead her through inner healing. I lead her into deliverance and the torment and the pain is gone. After 45 years of watching my mom tormented, always choosing death, even though she knew Jesus, I got to experience. But how? When Jesus appeared. Not when I fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. You hear me? Not when I, got the revelation and understood. No, when Jesus appeared, when Jesus entered the room. Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. You may see darkness in your life, in your relationship. Some of you, you may even thought about divorce. You may have thought about death in that relationship. But I'm here to tell you there's a better option. You've been experiencing sickness and pain and you feel like, God, just take my life. There's a better option. All it takes is for Jesus to appear. It says his glory. Everybody say glory. You know, for me, I have tears in my eyes, not because he healed my mother. I'm thankful for that. You know why I have tears in my eyes? Because Jesus appeared. I saw his glory. The manifestation of our God. Jesus appeared. And I feel like God is here, SP. You're people of excellence. And God is saying, will you love my appearance more than anything else? That you would choose his appearance, his manifest presence, his glory. I feel like God is looking for people that love his appearing more than anything else. God is so jealous to reveal his glory. His glory, his manifest presence. His glory, he wants to show you. He wants to reveal himself to you in a greater way. But it is only available for those that love his appearance more than success, more than any healing, more than anything else. He's looking for people who love his appearance more than anything else. I mean, I don't want to go through, you know, Hebrew word for glory and Greek word for glory. I have all this. But you know what? You know what glory is, right? When I look at Moses, he's seen 10 plagues. He's seen so much. But he still, I mean, he heard the audible voice of God. It says he came, God came down face to face speaking to him. But even then, Moses cried out, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory. God, I want to see you." And what did God say? Well, no one could live after seeing my face. But Moses, you see, there's a place. If you look at Exodus chapter 33, it says, "Behold, there's a place by me. There's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see." You see, Moses cried out his hunger for his glory. God, I want to see you. Not just what your hand, what your power can do. Not the doors that you could open for me. Not the things that you could buy for me. No, God, I want to see you. Show me your glory. And what did God say? My presence. He gives Moses a promise. My presence will go with you. And Moses, to Moses in that moment, the promise wasn't good enough. No, show me your glory. And God said, the very thing that you have asked for, I will do it. Two weeks ago, I went and preached at another church retreat. And there I met this Mongolian sister named Jessie. And I want to end with her story. Her testimony goes like this. When she's 20, she comes to America, but she doesn't know anybody. And she has two friends from Mongolia that she knows. She ends up with one guy. They started to live together, and they become boyfriend and girlfriend. But quickly, he becomes very abusive. He would often beat her. There was a time where he would take her into the closet and just beat and beat. And she thought she was going to die. And the neighborhood heard the cry, and the police came, took the guy into prison, into jail. But then they told her he's going to be out in a day or two. So she packs up. She leaves everything behind. She goes, finds another room. The thing is, he comes out in a day, knows exactly what school she's going to. He followed her to her new hiding place. When she was home alone, he breaks in, starts to beat her, and then starts to stab her all over. She's seeing blood come out. You see, in the moment of death, the darkest, darkest moment of her life, she doesn't know Jesus. The darkest moment of her life, she cries out, "God, if you're real, you must come and help me. Are you Jesus? Are you Buddha? Whoever you are, you must come and help me." And then she passes out. And then she says she saw the rooms white. And it's all beautiful. And then she felt this face, nose and the hair right on her side. And she heard the most beautiful voice she's ever heard in her life. And the voice said, "You can do it. You could get up and you could walk out." Again, over and over. The most beautiful voice, "You could do it. You could get up and you could walk out." And she opens her eyes. It's back in her bedroom. She's bleeding everywhere, but she still feels the presence and the voice. You can do it. You could get up. You can walk out. So she gets up. Blood everywhere, but she says she feels no pain. She feels nothing. She walks out of her bedroom. She goes into the living room. Her ex-boyfriend is there. She opens the front door, and she passes out. And when she wakes up again, half of her upper body is outside of the door. Half of her lower body is inside. And now she feels everything, every pain, all of her body. She's drowning in her own blood. She can't speak. She wants to cry out. And she saw two men walk by, and she uses all of her strength to make a noise. And then she passes out. At the end, she ends up in the hospital, going into emergency surgery. This ex-boyfriend is still in jail right now. He's not going to come out till he's 50-something, which is good. She gets better, and now she has to find her own place. So she finds two Mongolian sisters, and they decide to meet to see if they could become housemates. They meet. They like each other, and then they were going to say goodbye. Okay, see you tomorrow. And then they said, what are you doing right now? We're going to church. Would you like to come to church with us? And she said, I have nothing else to do. Why not? She goes to church, this small Mongolian church. She said, in the beginning, she's standing in the back, and she's laughing at this group of people, lifting their hands, crying, singing out loud. She's thinking, these people are crazy. She's laughing at them by herself, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she feels the presence, the nose and the beard, and then she hears that beautiful voice once again, and she falls to the ground, and she's crying out loud hysterically, the God who saved me is here, the God who saved me is here, and she gives her life to Jesus. And it's been 8 years since she's been walking with God. And at the retreat, I tell her about Jesus appearing beginning of this year. And at the end, she's crying. She's, I need to talk to you, Pastor. She holds my hand. What was it like? She was crying, what was it like to see Jesus? Pastor, what was it like? How did it look? How did you feel? The hunger, the hunger in her. I wanted, you know, because last time I heard that beautiful voice, last time I felt his presence was 8 years ago. I'm so hungry. I'm so desperate to hear his voice again. What was it like? And she would not let me go that night, holding me, wanting me to tell her. The next night, she runs to me, crying, Pastor, I heard that voice again. I heard that voice again tonight. I heard his voice again. It was so beautiful. Who wants to see him? SP, anybody want to see Jesus? You want to see him? Do you want to feel his presence? Then you got to love his appearance more than anything. That you got to be willing to let down all the other desires and pursue his presence. You know, for past, I don't know, few months, I've been hurting with the Syrian refugees, and I didn't know what to do. I don't want to just send money to organizations that I don't know. But I don't want to just sit here and just watch these kids under the rubble. I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. God, show us what to do. And after Jesse's testimony, I said, that's it. Just like Jesse didn't know you, but in the moment of darkness, thick darkness, you visited her and you saved her. More than anything, these Syrian refugees, they need the appearance of Jesus. And so before we came here, we actually activated 17 people to fast and pray for 40 days. God, you gave us a promise that there will be appearance of angels and Jesus among us. We were hungry for it, but they need you more. The same promise that you gave us, visit them, God. And we're praying for Jesus himself to visit those refugees. Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12, it says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You see, you may be afraid of darkness. You may be running away from darkness. You may be hiding from darkness. But our God, he's not afraid of your darkness. Your darkness is as light to him. He's not afraid. And he's inviting you. Come, will you approach that darkness? Do not hide. Approach your darkness with me, for I am there, the Lord says. In the midst of your thick darkness, he is there. It's an opportunity for you and I to face to face see Jesus as we approach the darkness. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I don't care how dark it is. Darkness cannot overcome light. It's time. Everybody say, it's time. It's time to approach the darkness where God is. It's time for his glory to be seen upon you. You know, Benjamin preached at a friend's church in Center Point, Murrieta, California. While he was preaching, they saw the glory of God just around him. When he did this, the glory went like this. Physically, people were able to see the glory of God. I want you to stand up right now with me, with the worship team behind me. Can we pursue? Can you awaken your hunger for his appearance? You see, the enemy has used the darkness to distract you, to make you run away from his glory. But what you have to understand is that darkness is light to God. Your darkness does not scare God. As you approach the darkness, you will see God. Just as Jesse was able to hear him and see him, just as Jesus appeared in January in my room in the most darkest moment of my life, I'm here to tell you, whoever is hungry, whoever loves the appearance of Jesus, God is here to say, I am here, approach me, do not be afraid, for I am your God. So I want you to pray. Come on. Come on, SB. Open your mouths. Come on, open your mouths. Come on, ask him. Maranatha. 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 Come, Jesus. Come. Come on, ask him right now. Jesus, I want to see you. God, I want to see your appearance. I want to see your glory, God. God, I am sick and tired of over and over and over again facing and seeing my darkness. Let your light shine, Jesus. Awaken, God, this morning. Awaken the hunger and desperation that is inside of your son, of your daughter, God. Today, God, awaken us, God. Awaken us to your presence, to your glory. Open our eyes, God. We want to see you, God. We want to see your glory, Lord. We want to see your glory, God.
Show me your glory. sense, it's where I belong. Unto you, on your face, on the one that I love. Long to stay in your presence, it's where I belong. I long to look on the face of the one that I love. Long to stay in your presence, it's where I belong. I long to look on the face of the one that I love. Long to stay in your presence, it's where I belong.
Right now in the midst of His presence, whether you feel it or not, He's here. And His presence is here, ready to reveal His glory to you in the midst of your darkness. Right now, I feel like I want to pray for a few different types of people this morning. You've experienced some darkness. God is saying there's a better option. Come on, come, come. Choose the better option. There's a better option. Life is better. Reconciliation is better. Healing is better. There's a better option for you. Those of you that have been faced with darkness, that have been faced with thick darkness, God is saying, choose life. Choose life today. Son, daughter, choose life. And this day I believe, in the midst of your darkness, as you approach your darkness with God, God is going to reveal His glory to you. And there's some of you that says, I'm so hungry. I want to encounter His appearance. I want to love His appearance. Pastor, I want to see Him. If that's you, I want you to also come forward. Come on, I want you to seek the face of God. I want you to be the Moses of this generation that cries out, show me your glory, God.
happening right now, but I want to release a prophetic word over one individual. The young man that's here from Ohio, Caucasian gentleman, I believe you have an African-American wife. Where is he? I don't remember his name. Oh, there you are. Come here. The Lord laid you on my heart since yesterday afternoon. The moment I met you, the Lord began to speak to me about you. God has something special for you today. First thing is, I see that you have a sense of humor. You make people laugh. You have a way about you that's light and that's carefree, and you create joy. But underneath all of that joy, there's pain. And there's pain in your heart that goes all the way back to your childhood. And I see that you were berated at some point in your childhood. You were berated and looked down upon. You were told that you wouldn't amount to anything. You were told that you weren't worth anything. You were told that you were stupid and that you couldn't learn. You were told all of these things, all of these negative things that stuck like a dart, and it created this hole in your heart, this place of inner darkness and inner turmoil in your heart, and this pain that you've carried with you to this day. There's areas in your life in which you feel like, Lord, why don't I have the capacity to just rise above this? So, the ways that you desire to love your wife, and you say, God, why can't I just rise above this and just do it? It's because of this hole and this place of pain and this place of emptiness and brokenness in your heart. But this is the word of the Lord to you today. God says, all of these things have come upon you that I might be a father to you, says the Lord. That you might come to me and that I might be a father to you, says the Lord. And God says, today, I am your father and you are my son. And God says, I'm here not simply to heal the pain in your heart, but to hold you in that place. And I say that there's a place near me, and I'll cause you to stand there. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I break off of you every word that was spoken. I break off of you every curse of the devil that was spoken over your life. In the name of Jesus, I break off every idle word, every word, and I say that you are excellent. I say that you are highly favored. I say that you are loved. I say that you are not only accepted, but acceptable. And God says that He's placed in you a creative unction. That in this day and in this time, He's causing it to come forth. In many seasons in the past, you sensed that creative unction beginning to rise up in your heart, but something on the inside stopped it because you felt like, could this really be true? Could I really do this? There was this self-doubt and this insecurity and this fear and this inferiority and this low self-esteem. But God's breaking all of those lies off of you right now in His presence. And He's giving you the freedom to be excellent and to be who you are. But more than anything else, the Lord wants to reinterpret all of the pain of your past. These things did not come upon you because I abandoned you, says the Lord. But because I destined you for the day when I would be to you a father and you would be to me a son. And the Lord says to you, this is the day. You've known that I was your father. You've known it, but God says, this day I present myself to you. As your father, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And God, I speak over each and everyone in this place right now who has any pain and brokenness in their heart, any insecurity and inferiority, self-esteem, depression in their heart because of brokenness from their childhood. Father, I thank you that today you've come to show yourself a father. You said you are a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. And God, today you've come to show yourself a father. I want your wife to stand up. You pray over these two. Everybody just stretch out your hand towards these two. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for the ministry that you've given them. We thank you for the excellence. And Lord, we destroy every attack of the enemy that has been waged against them. We say no weapon forged against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up in judgment against you, you will refute. We speak blessing and encouragement over your lives, your ministry, and your marriage in Jesus' name.
Yeah, for the wife, I feel like you had to lay down your disappointments before God. The desires in your marriage, the desires for serving God, the desires to be the powerful witness. There's so much that you desire for God, but like you've been so disappointed and over again. And I feel like you had to lay down, but I hear the Lord saying, I will, mark my word, I will give you the desires of your heart. Every desire, God says, I care about every one of your desires, and I will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. I'm going to pray for the brother in the glasses. Yeah, if you could stand up. Okay. Yeah, why don't you guys come around him? You know, I feel like the enemy's been lying to you, saying because of the darkness that you've experienced, that you had to see, the darkness disqualified you from seeing the glory of God. But God says, no, son. God says, no, the darkness has qualified you. It's the other way around. God says, I am ready to reveal my glory to you. The darkness that you had to walk through, the darkness that you had to see, did not disqualify you. God says, I am for you. I am your God. You see, there's a place beside me, the Lord says. You see, there's a special place beside me just for you, my son. It's for you. It's for you. No one else. For you, my son. It's for you. And I'm going to begin to reveal my glory, my presence, my attributes to you. And I will let the world know that you are mine. That you are my son, who I am well pleased with.
Yes. And today God is setting you free from loneliness. He's breaking the back of loneliness over your life right now. And he's reinterpreting that loneliness. You are not rejected. You have been set apart. God said, you have not been rejected. You have been set apart. You are mine, says the Lord. I have set you apart from myself. And God, today we break loneliness off of his life right now in the name of Jesus. And we say that he is accepted in the beloved. In Jesus' name.
Those of you that are hungry to see God, I want to love his appearance more than I want you to stand up, lift your hands. Come on. Come on. God, I release the very promise you've given to me this year, God, that there will be appearances of Jesus himself and angels, God. God, I give them that very promise, God, that these sons and daughters, God, as they pursue your glory, God, you will reveal your glory, your presence to your sons and daughters, God, in a greater way than ever. Right now, brother, I want you to lead us into worship. You keep your hands up. You open your spiritual eyes, you will see his glory. Amen. Come on. Come on. You're going to sense his presence in your five senses. You're going to feel his presence in your hands, in your back, in your head. You're going to feel the warmth. Come on. Let's worship.
I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Oh Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
every day in our lives and our work. We need you, God.
I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Like God, as I was worshiping, he just put your name in my head. I have no idea why. I haven't talked to you all weekend. But I feel like God is saying this to you, Eva. I feel like you feel like that in many ways that your time when you were a missionary was a waste. I feel like that In your heart, you feel like, God, I spent all this time following you, all this time coming after you, all this time wanting you, and all I got out of it was disappointment. All I feel like I did was failure. And I feel like in your heart that God doesn't want to use you. And you feel like God doesn't want to send you, and you feel like God doesn't love you, and you are not worthy to be his missionary. And I feel like God's saying to you today, that is not true. Because you are my daughter with whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. And that time that you were a missionary for me and you came back feeling broken, you see, you were broken not so that you could feel bad about yourself. You were broken so that I can put you back together with my spirit laced inside you, even more so. You see, God placed inside you that desire to be a missionary and to see the broken healed and to see the world and those who don't know you come to know him. But I think in many ways, when you went with a desire to go, but not with the Holy Spirit leading you. I feel like what God's saying today is from this point forward, not only am I going to give you my spirit, I'm going to go with you everywhere I've called you to go. You see, in Romans 8, 28 and 29, it says, "For we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And for those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he may be the firstborn." Well, I feel like God's saying today, I'm going to conform you to the likeness of my son. Everywhere you go, you're going to be like my son. You're going to be a light into the world. Into the darkest places, people will see you and they're going to see my son. And so I feel like, Eva, just lift your hands and just surrender. All that pain, all those times where you felt like, Lord, I failed you. Lord, I don't know why I left, or all the things that I went through. Just surrender it to him. Because today God's saying, I'm going to put you back together. All the pieces you think you lost, I'm going to put it back together. But this time my spirit's going to be all over you. My spirit is going to be all over you. And not only is it going to be all over you, it's going to go forth to every nation that he's going to send you to. And he's going to bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen. I just want to confirm that what the Lord is shifting right now is your thinking. Because when you look back on that experience, you feel as though it's an experience of brokenness. But I heard the Lord say it was a promotion. It was not a demotion. You feel like you came back damaged goods, but you are not damaged goods. God used that experience to prepare you. You have not been broken. You have been prepared. And so we just speak that blessing of the Lord over your life right now. And we release you into the next level of fruitfulness, of ministry, in Jesus' name. Amen.
For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good.
who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Honestly, don't even want to move or do anything. Thank you, Pastor Sunny. Me personally, just completely undone. Appreciate your message and your heart and your honesty before us. We want to stay in this attitude throughout the rest of our day, but we do need to relieve our Sunday school teachers and then give a little time for your house churches and whatnot. And I think Pastor Nate, you have something for us as well. Yeah. So let me pray. Let me pray for us and just seal. And Father, thank you, God. And Lord, we're so hungry, God. Oh, we're so hungry, Lord. God, and even the songs that we sang, God, no, we just want you, God, so much, Lord. God, we want you more than even our minds can fathom, God. Even more than our hearts can ever express, Lord. And so we thank you that you're here, God, that you thank you that you're with us, Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would seal the word, God, seal what you've been doing this whole day. Last night, Lord, in our hearts, and let us continue to grow, Lord, in you. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord, so much, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a huge